the spiritually uplifting power of the love of one man for one woman, Dante and his beloved Beatrice. And then, and finally, and most importantly, the glorious and mysterious love of God. For when we have come from the pit of Inferno to the mountain of paradise, Dante permits our weary traveler to look into the face of God. Now, to the degree that vernacular implies the activities of lay people, we can also talk about certain great social movements of the High Middle Ages. The first of these, for example, the first of these lay movements that we'll devote a little attention to was, paradoxically, religious. Sometimes it resulted in perfectly acceptable new forms of religious expression. Sometimes it resulted in what the authorities called heresy. Now, we've emphasized in a couple of different lectures that there were various currents of religious reform that washed over Europe in the 10th, the 11th, and the 12th centuries. Many people were caught up in these currents of religious reform. They weren't exclusively captured by the clergy. To some people, the idea, as they understood it, of the vita apostolica, the apostolic life, was a clear call, first of all, to challenge the church to behave better, but for themselves personally to live lives of apostolic poverty and of preaching. We have seen, for example, that the mendicants, the Franciscans and the Dominicans, were one perfectly orthodox and legitimate response to this call. But there were others that eventually found them outside the boundaries of authority. For instance, the Valdensians, founders of Valdez, or sometimes, as he's called, Peter Waldo. This was a lay movement that began in North Italian towns and then spread into the south of France, where individual members of this movement, who led blameless and exemplary lives, who abandoned their wealth, who abandoned their attachment to the world, lived as communities and began to preach to others. Well, they ran afoul of ecclesiastical authorities because, of course, the ecclesiastical authorities assumed that preaching was their responsibility. There were other movements like the Cathars, who were especially prominent in southern France. Now, Cathar, think of catharsis. Cathar means pure, means the pure ones. These were people who embraced ancient dualist forms of religion. These are the kinds of things that reach all the way back to Zoroastrianism in ancient Persia. These are things that reach through the Manichaeanism present in the Roman Empire and much contested by St. Augustine. It's a world of dark and light, of pure and impure. Now, the commonest name for these Cathars in the south of France is Albigensians, because they focused on large numbers of them lived around the town of Albi. And eventually, they were ruthlessly suppressed by ecclesiastical authorities. Indeed, Pope Innocent III preached a crusade against them. Well, if we talk about heretical religious movements that somehow emerge out of perfectly authentic religious currents of reform, and heretical movements that were largely the phenomenon of lay people as opposed to ecclesiastics, we note in crushing one of these groups, the Crusades. This brings us to another great social movement of the High Middle Ages, the Crusades. The armed pilgrimages of those who were Cruce Signati, who were signed by the cross. There are many ironies in the history of the Crusades. They were called by popes. They were called by great figures like St. Bernard, stirring up enormous amounts of enthusiasm. Enthusiasm for violence of a particular religious sort, creating an underlying justification for this, was in many ways a clerical role. Many of the definitions, the ideologies, the guiding principles were clerical, but for purposes of our remarks at the moment, the thing on which we want to put stress is that the movements were lay movements. It was not the clergy who went off to liberate the Holy Land, but rather large numbers of lay men. Now, the Crusades lasted from the very late 11th century until the very late 13th in anything like their original and classic form. We can look for lots of background issues here. The Byzantine Empire, for example, had long been looking for mercenary soldiers to come and help them. Yes, there were problems in the Balkan frontier, as we've repeatedly seen, but the Byzantines were also worried, of course, about Anatolia. In the year 1071, the Byzantine army suffered a devastating defeat to Turkish forces at Manzikert, And as a result of that defeat, they began particularly, the Byzantine emperors did, turning to the popes and to rulers in the West and asking for mercenary soldiers to come and help them. They got something quite different from what they expected.